now on ESPN Radio.
The astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. As coming up on the program today, we're going to talk anything from girls basketball to wrestling to boys basketball to volleyball, football. Can't talk anything without football. That's coming up today. And did you want to talk about the bowl bonanza winners today, or should we wait till tomorrow? Or, you know, I think we're just kind of string them along.
Derek in charge. Well, let's string them along because
Derek's out, and things sound to be going good there. His dad was taken in for a heart attack, and things seem to go good. I talked to Derek this morning, so thank goodness, and he'll probably be back with us on Friday. So
kind of a scary situation, very serious situation.
A lot of that going on lately.
Hopefully that's behind them.
A lot of that going on lately, and I guess after the holidays, all the stress is gone, huh? Good Lord. But anyway, scheduled on the program today, UNK head wrestling coach Mark Bauer, Kearney High girls basketball coach Jason Boyd. But, Daddy, the story of the day as we break, you know, I thought I was going to lead with some great basketball from last night, but the story of the day, you know, we were only kind of, at least I was only kind of half joking with this whole Nebraska volleyball deal. Something's up. And maybe Rachel Holloway will turn out to be a kook here. But you look at this, and Rachel Holloway, a two-time All-American playing for one of the best programs in college volleyball, leaves the program and not walks into John Cook and says, I'm leaving. But if you look at the press release and then you delve into it even farther with the story written by Todd Hendricks of the Lincoln Journal Star, who follows the volleyball program closer than anybody else. She's enrolled in Alabama, starts classes, I think today, as a matter of fact, sends her sister back to Lincoln to collect her belongings. Yep. I mean, this story has everything but the diaper. I mean, what is going on here?
Get on a bus for Albuquerque.
They lose to California. You lose about everybody off the team. I mean, you got Jordan Larson, you got Rachel Holloway, but I mean, you lose Sarah Pavin, Christina Hotelling, Stalls. You lose four players.
Now you're getting a setter. She was the two-time All-American setter. Supposedly, the setter that sat out a year ago that trained with the Olympic team is coming in, and there was talk that there would be a two-setter system in place. It seems weird that, you know, she would have to share time being an All-American kind of running the show. Now, I don't know if everything is speculation because she hasn't said anything, so everybody's set out there to wonder. I mean, you hear everything from, well, maybe that two-setter system upset her and thought it was kind of her show to run. I don't know if you're... I think that's a little bit different. If you're playing Division I volleyball at a national powerhouse, you're obviously playing, it'd be half the time. It's not like you're a two-guard in basketball and somebody might be as good as you or a little bit better and they're getting 37 minutes and you're getting three. I mean, you're still getting a lot of playing time. You're still around, what everybody thinks, a great group that has an opportunity to win, you know, one, two, three more national titles.
Here's again, and I'm looking, using some information from Todd's story in the Lincoln Journal Star, and we hope to have Todd on sometime this week, and we might even be able to have someone of the coaching staff from Nebraska. The efforts have been made and contacts have been made, possibly even get a chance to talk with Coach Cook, but somebody with the program before the end of the week. Former Utah starter Sydney Anderson is expected to join Nebraska in time for the upcoming season, but she must first complete her associate's degree to be eligible. Don't hear a lot about volleyball players being eligible, do you?
No.
It's usually the guys. And, I guess, This could be a good thing for one of our own. Bridget Root of Grand Island is a walk-on setter committed to join Nebraska's team this fall. I'll tell you what, if you're asked to walk on at Nebraska, you can get a scholarship probably just about anywhere else. And she is an outstanding setter. Of course, her dad, the coach over there, longtime great coach, Giltner in Grand Island, and leading them to such a great turnaround at Grand Island. And I think, you know, she, in time, would be able to lead this Nebraska volleyball team. I don't think Coach Cook would feel comfortable about throwing her in there as a freshman. But one of the things that Cook said a few weeks ago, they were talking about playing an exhibition match this spring in Hawaii. The Huskers likely won't even play competitively this spring. If you don't have a setter, how can you play competitively?
It's tough without the coach throwing balls up to spike.
I mean, this is... And the spring stuff, this is big. I mean, they travel, they play. You know, UNK does it. Everybody's doing it now, where your spring season is serious competition. I mean, you may delve into some Division II and a variety of whoever can come, but usually there's some big-time travel involved. Hawaii, they were talking about going to Hawaii over spring break.
You know, if I'm on that team and our setter doesn't show up and I'm not going to Hawaii, I'm pissed. I'll tell you that right now. I'm not very happy about that.
Here's what's going on. Holloway has left the program, finished her final exams, went home to Tennessee, left her room filled with clothes and all her volleyball stuff. Her sister is to come up and gather those things in a few days, according to the story. Holloway said she's done with volleyball, enrolled at Alabama, classes begin today. Burnt out, I guess, is what's going on. Some of her teammates didn't even know it was coming on. Jordan Larson said, you know what?
She heard it third or fourth hand.
Yeah.
Through.
They had no idea. Didn't talk to her. A couple of other things here. I thought, well, one of the more interesting things is this isn't the first time, obviously, or apparently, this isn't the first time this has happened in the family. Her sister, Sarah,
did the same thing.
Started for Texas in 2004, left the sport, and transferred to Baylor.
Man, girls are weird.
Coach Cook said, we respect her personal decision and wish her nothing but the very best in the future.
What?
One other thing that she said here, she said she thought about stepping down after they won the national title last year. Also said that she is not interested in playing volleyball at Alabama, even though former NU manager Bent Bolt is the current assistant with the Crimson Tide. And she said she chose Alabama for its proximity to home, and has friends who are active in Reformed Unity Fellowship, a strong Christian organization that she shares an interest in.
Fine. Step away. Boy, you're a two-time All-American. You would think going to be soon a four-time All-American. Gone.
That's a strange story. Your thoughts, your comments, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Daddy, we're kind of joking here without saying it on the air. People are starting to think there might be other reasons that she has left the program, and it could be anywhere from personal to team-related. But this is, I categorize this as a little more than strange. This is strange. If there wasn't a problem, I would think she personally would come back and get her stuff, first off. You wouldn't leave without letting anybody know, per se.
Well, the college athlete is a little bit different beast because you are kind of a grown adult. You usually walk in the coach's office and hash some things out. And if both parties decide to go their own ways, that's not a big deal. You know, John Cook, there's other girls. You know what? If you don't want to be here, we certainly don't want to, you know, put a hamper on your time and waste, you know, your time and our time. Go your separate ways and everybody's happy. Just to disappear and enroll in classes somewhere else, yeah, that certainly fits the mold of bizarre behavior, I think.
How big is this? How big is this? The immediate impact on this Nebraska volleyball team. Does it take them from perennial Big 12 champ to 2-3 in the conference? Does it knock them out of any national consideration? I mean, the national championship's in Omaha again next year, folks. The Final Four tickets go on sale January 19th. That's a week from Saturday. Ticketmaster.com, or if you're going to be in Omaha, at the Quest Center. But, wow, Nebraska trying to set themselves up to win national championships, playing at home. I think this immediately takes them out of the national title hunt. without having a setter.
Well, certainly if you go back to almost the Texas game, almost to the date, it seems to be some real chemistry issues happen with this team all throughout the rest of the season. I mean, down to going five games with Michigan State, you know, leading up to the California loss.
Well, you would even have to think if Holloway was being pestered about who she was setting the ball to, that wouldn't be a problem anymore. You pretty much set it to Jordan Larson every single time for next year. It's very strange. And when I got back in from basketball last night and saw that was a breaking news item in the evening, it was just very, very strange. Coming up on the program, we'll take your emails, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com, and we'll take a look at a variety of other things going on. I'm going to talk a little basketball. The Kearney girls off to a tremendous start at 9-2, one of the best starts in school history, definitely in recent memory. So we'll talk with head coach Jason Boyd about that. A couple of other comments. We're going to talk wrestling as well here in a little bit, but a couple of other comments. You know, every time they put out, oh, not as many people watch the World Series, not as many people watch the Super Bowl, not as many people watch the BCS National Championship game. Last night's or Monday night's OSU-LSU matchup, 17% fewer viewers than the Florida-Ohio State game. Really? What do you think? It's the third lowest rating in 10 years of the championship games.
You know, I think, you know, people that are interested watch it, the other ones, you know, where do they get these figures? I think that
here's what I've always contended, and I've never been able to find a Nielsen report or anyone else to take the other side of this argument or tell me why I'm wrong. And this is just total opinion. I don't have the fact, and maybe they figure a way to do this. But you know what? The more people that we consistently have in the world, and the more television sets that we have on, the greater the opportunity
for other things
on. So I would never. If these ratings ever went up, that would be a significant boost. I mean, how many more TVs do you think there are in the United States this year than last year? And do you think they would be on? All the new TVs are probably on something different. Because if you want to watch the game, I'm guessing it's on the main TV at your home. It's not on the kids' TV. It's not on the wife's TV in there watching Hallmark or Lifetime. It's on the football game.
I think you're dead on that.
So, to me, anymore, reading these stories have no significance. Zero significance. I think a lot of people were watching the championship game.
I think a lot of people were too, Doug. And I think a lot of things after this bowl season, there's been a lot more talk about the plus one format. Now the Georgia, mm-hmm. The guy from Georgia's come out with the field of eight. Interesting to note about that plus one format, if you look back, and the BCS officials, they say they will address that now, whether they mean that or not. If you look back at this year, Ohio State would have played Oklahoma. Virginia Tech would have actually played LSU. Okay, there's a lot of teams on the outside of that calling, that's not right.
Danny, that's why I say the system they have in place, I have not heard one better. And it does not to say that this is the greatest. The system that they have now is hardly any different than what we had for years while we were growing up in the bowl system. The only thing that the BCS did was it yanked the Big Ten and the Pac-10 out of the Rose Bowl. It gave them an opportunity to play somewhere else. I mean, let's face it, even the Orange Bowl, even though the Big 8, Big 12 was locked into the Orange Bowl, the other spot was open. There was no, it could be anybody. It could be Miami, Florida State, Virginia Tech. It could be anybody, except if you were the champion of the Pac-10 or the Big Ten. All the other bowls are pretty much flexible. Yes, the SEC champion was supposed to go to the Sugar Bowl, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
But Douglas, part of the problem with that is still the Big Ten and the Pac-10 coming out publicly saying they don't want the BCS plus one in part because it would make the Rose Bowl less attractive. You know, they're again
49-10.
What?
Whoa, that was pretty good looking.
Well, glad we didn't get to see USC and Georgia in that one.
But so your opinion is what right now?
Well, you know what? I think it's interesting, this 8-team deal.
That's interesting.
You go back, but you got to scale it back because you went back yesterday and looked at the teams that played 14 games. And the argument obviously comes up, okay, what, how many games, you know, you put kids' bodies under the strain? There's obviously a lot of injuries in college football with the speed and the aggressiveness of the athlete. How many more games do you put them at risk for injury? You went back and looked. I believe six teams played 14 games this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was three championships that were rated.
You would have to scale that back. And play 11 or 12 game schedule. And you, I mean, obviously there would have to be some tweaking. You have to get rid of the title games. Probably would have to go. And I'm not sure the conferences are going to allow that because of the money. I think you put the four main bowl games. I think this Georgia guy. I think the Georgia guy is kind of on something. When you use the four main bowls, Fiesta, Orange, Sugar, and Rose, you plug them in there, then you play two of those. I mean, you could draw them out of a hat. The Rose Bowl winner plays the Orange Bowl winner. Or it doesn't matter. You just want Rose and Fiesta. Their proximities are closer. Those winners play the next week. The winner advances that. You're only affecting four teams the next week, two teams. You know, you're not affecting the whole student-athlete deal.
May I point out one thing, though, which of there are many. What would have been said then before the bowls, and what would have been said now? Daddy, if we would have had an 8-team playoff, Oklahoma's in, West Virginia's out. 8 and 9. 8 and 9. Three Big 12 teams would have been in, and unless they had some secret formula about how to pick the eight, because that BCS top eight, they were number eight. Let's go to the phone lines at 1-888-455-ESPN. Bill is standing by. Good morning, Bill.
Bill, what's going on?
Let's go to the phone lines. Bill is standing by. Hey, good morning, Bill.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're doing okay. What's going on?
Oh, not too much. Just listen to your discussion about this. You know, you listen to ESPN talk about it all night long after the game, and one of the things I think has caused some of the problem is now that these conferences are so big where, you know, not everyone plays every team in the conference every year, I think that has kind of added to the problem where you have controversy at the conference level because, you know, Georgia didn't play LSU or, you know, Oklahoma didn't play Kansas or whatever it may be. You know, it seems like where these power conferences started, then, you know, not everyone's playing each other and really determining the true conference winner, even though there's a conference championship game in some of them, but I think it's just added to the problem.
You would go back and play the full conference schedule is what you were saying.
I think that would make more sense because then you know who the true conference champion is out of that conference because, like this year, LSU would have played Georgia. They would have known who the better team was based on that game.
Bill, thanks so much for the call. Sure appreciate it. 1-888-455-ESPN. Again, we can argue all day long. It's all about our opinion, your neighbor's opinion, your brother's opinion. But, Daddy, if that happens, if Bill's idea went through, what's the most fun about the college football season? Is it Northwestern versus Michigan? No. And just because Georgia would have beat LSU or LSU would have beat Georgia, you know, they're still complaining that they should have been playing for the national title or voted number one. You know, if it happened in the first week of the season, it's 2.5 months later and you play in a championship game, who knows? You know, you could split 1-1. But the bottom line is, if all the conference teams have to play each other, then the non-conference games, you'd never get an attractive matchup. Ever, ever, ever. Ohio State's playing USC next year. Everybody's going to be looking forward to that ball game.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Douglas. Everybody is looking forward to that ball game. But I think you go back, and every year it seems to, at this time, there seems to be some kind of uproar. And it's always retroactive after what happened during the season. It's never proactive to take care of problems in advance. And maybe we can't foresee all the problems in advance. And maybe, you know, with this being one of the craziest football season ever, and you got 13, you know, five times the number one and two rated teams in the country get beat on the same day, you know, 13 teams outside of the top 25 defeat a number one team, and on and on and on. I don't. You've got the list right here.
I'm putting this top 25 AP list in front of you, and here is the bottom line. without saying the term at the end of the day, which if you listen to ESPN 24 hours, you will hear that term 212 times. I will not say that term. That's the next one to go. But anyway, when this is all said and done, who would you have voted as the number one team in the country? There's your top 25. Who would you have voted as the number one team in the country? I'll tell you right now, there is nobody on that list I would have voted above LSU. Nobody. Georgia, if you were that good, you would have won the conference. LSU had two losses. Yes, I don't like that, but you know what? They were in triple overtime. They were competitive ball games. They did not lose to Vanderbilt, i.e. Stanford of the Big Ten. LSU, number one team in the country. Everybody else went in the roller coaster round. So the system, whether you like it or not, LSU finished number one. LSU deserved to be number one. There is nobody else on that list that you could make an argument for that deserves to be number one more than LSU, except, now not more than, but you could make a case for Kansas. That is the only other team I believe that you could make a case for.
I would assume you're throwing out USC because of the loss
because
to Stanford.
Because
it was just a terrible loss, and if you're going to lose to Stanford, a 42-point favorite, you don't.
And they had two losses. Yes, they might have been playing good at the end of the season, but when they had those two losses, that was like a month of not being good. I mean, nothing was impressive. Plus, they lost a couple of times.
Fair enough. See, I think it would be obviously hindsight's great when you've got LSU, you've got Georgia finishing the way they do and shutting out Colt Brennan and that potent offense in which he runs. You've got Southern Cal, but then you got a team in Missouri, which played in the Cotton Bowl, wasn't a BCS Bowl, that shined very, very brightly on that day. You know, I think it's interesting West Virginia's run. I mean, I think Kansas, I think you could have a great 8-team playoff when it's all said and done, but then you're getting into more games as well. I mean, you could go on, and I'd just soon play college football right up until the championship game ends 2 days before spring football starts.
Let's go to one more email that rolled across right at the very end of yesterday's show. This is from our friend Adam in Holdridge. Sorry I was unable to attend that big Wilcox-Hildreth game that Daddy officiated. I was too busy paying bills and refinishing our T-box signs. Since I couldn't make it to heckle you in person, I'll do what any real man in my shoes would do, heckle you over the internet from a safe distance where you can't wrap those big banana hands around my neck. Hey, Daddy, Ravens in the Super Bowl? Just kidding, B. Diddy. It's the last time I bring it up. Either of you guys find the championship game eerily similar to last year, Ohio State coming out, and we talked about that. Do you think the layoff affected either team, Adam and Holdridge? I don't think so. Ohio State came out like a ball of fire, and LSU looked like they had early in the game all season long, and they rolled. It would have been better if they hadn't had the layoff.
You had the date. November 21st,
I believe, was the last day that Ohio State. It was whatever it was the Friday, the Saturday before Thanksgiving, whatever that date happened to fall on. It was the 20th or the 21st.
When you're talking about all that time of football, and usually they do give those guys a couple weeks off. They finish finals, and it's pretty much a going. You do stay in shape, a deal to maintain, lift some weights, and then you don't hit it hard until a couple weeks before that bowl game. But nonetheless. Just to get back in rhythm, just as far as coming off the football and stuff, I didn't see a big problem with that. Usually, if there's false starts, people jumping off sides, that might be a sign. You didn't see that the other night. You saw some really dumb penalties, mental mistakes out of Ohio State as far as personal fouls. I think that's just maybe too geared up, maybe, holding back. Maybe started the process a little bit too early, had too much emotion there early on.
Let's take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we come back, we're going to catch up with the head girls basketball coach at Kearney High, Jason Boyd, and talk a lot more sports after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
There they are, two dirty boys.
We had nothing to do with it. It was all their idea.
Now your tablecloth is stained, and how?
More dirty deeds done dirt cheap. When the Doug and Daddy Show returns at Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
The printed material you present to a client is the face of your business. It's the face of your image and the very face of the way you communicate to the world. Lips Printing Service would like you to meet the face of their business, their sales team. the sales staff at Lips will come to your place of business, providing you personal service to answer your questions and to get the job done right. Lips Printing Service is one of only a few printers where the sales team comes to you on time, done right, one customer at a time. Lips Printing Service of Kearney.
Why pay too much for your next pre-owned car or truck? Since 1981, Kearney Auto Sales on East Highway 30 has earned a reputation for selling quality vehicles at affordable prices. Kearney Auto has a great selection of extra clean cars, SUVs, and pickups. Need a rental car? Take advantage this month of Kearney Auto's special low rate of $19.95. Tax refund time is fast approaching. At Kearney Auto Sales, you can buy here, pay here too. Stop in today or call for details at 236-7009. Open weekdays till 6 and Saturday till 4.
More exciting high school sports is coming up this week, and here's where you can catch it live. Thursday on ESPN Radio, it's Kearney High Wrestling as the top-ranked Bearcats duel Columbus at 7:30. And on Power 99, the Kearney Catholic basketball teams will host St. Paul. Friday on ESPN 1460, Kearney High will host Lexington in basketball. On ESPN 1550, the Hastings boys host Omaha Grows. Southern Valley's at St. Cecilia on 1230 AM KHAS. And Friday night on Power 99, Axtell is at Kennesaw.
Hi, I'm Drew Anderson with the Milwaukee Brewers. You're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Are you a winter sports nut? Then you are very welcome inside the doors at the Chicken Coop. The Chicken Coop is a family-friendly sports bar and grill that sports so many screens, you won't miss a minute of the action. Whether you like NCAA or pro basketball or any other televised winter sport, there isn't a bad seat in the house. And don't forget, the Chicken Coop serves your favorite food and beverages, including microbrews. Find out why fans flock to the Coop. The Chicken Coop, downtown Grand Island and downtown Kearney.
We'll see partial sun, along with more developing clouds during the day today. Highs around the lower 40s with south winds to 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, a chance of light snow develops. Could see up to an inch or two by Thursday morning. Lows near 23, up to 35 for highs Thursday. I'm weather eye meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 32.
ESPN Radio Superstation. We will be joined by Jason Boyd, Kearney girls basketball coach, in just a moment. And Mark Bauer is going to join us via phone coming up in the last segment of the program today.
I was thinking about John Cook. He's probably got headaches, neck pain, probably some lower back pain, disc problem. Whiplash. So Whiplash got glasses now. Saw that on TV last night looking at the tacos. Comes out of the doc's office, get the little glasses on.
Oh, run with it.
Carpal tunnel syndrome.
What do you do?
From
what do you do?
Injury. Well, it's pretty simple.
What does John Cook do?
He heads to 234-4940. He makes a phone call first. Then he heads to 11 West 31st Street and goes and sees Dr. John Klingensmith at Klingensmith Chiropractic. You probably know men and women in their 70s or older who look, feel, and act years, even decades younger than they are. That's how we all want to be, as active and vital as we've been in our 30s and 40s.
Not well, except for you. Except for you, because that'd be just a waste of time.
I don't feel a day over 83. I do not feel a day over 83.
So where are we going? Dr. John Klingensmith?
11 West 31st Street, 234-4940. Call for your appointment today.
That fits right into our next email here. This comes from Ken, who says, yesterday, and I don't know why all these emails are rolling in, another shot at you. Yesterday, I attended an epic battle, if such a thing can be heard, on the hardwoods in Axtell, involving two junior high girls basketball teams.
Wasn't
of which you used to make fun of. They were the Axtell Wildcats and Kearney Catholic. The game was very enjoyable and extended into overtime. However, as the game progressed, my attention was drawn to the two officials. One was a little guy and the other a big fella. I don't know how you put font that big on an email, but he did. I'm not usually prone to positive thoughts concerning officials, but I must admit the big fella called a good game. I did notice as the game moved into overtime, the big fella was beginning to lose a half step or so, and when the Stars won the game on a shot at the buzzer, I witnessed the big fella raise his head to the heavens as if to say, "Thank you, God, I'm out of gas." So if you happen to run into the big fella, tell him nice game, Ken. Well, here's the first problem, you moron. If it ain't varsity, it ain't going to overtime. That's chapter 4 Jim Langan right there. Are you kidding me? JV, reserve, We had an overtime between Ravenna and Minden's boys' JVs last night, and I went, oh, let's see. Even though it was good, well played. I'll tell you, those are two great varsity games I'll talk about in a moment. Daddy, it's a junior high girls' basketball game. There is no overtime. You don't get paid anymore.
I understand that, Douglas. Believe me, I understand that.
But let's talk varsity basketball, because there are many area teams that are doing well through the first half of the season, and one that's off to one of its best starts in school history. Moving into the number 9 spot this week in the Class A girls state rankings, the Kearney Bearcats, they have now put together a win streak of 7 in a row. They're 9-2 on the season. We are pleased to be joined on the Doug and Daddy Show by the head coach of the Bearcats, Jason Boyd, as they get ready to take on Lexington and Grand Island girl-boy doubleheaders. You'll hear right here on ESPN Radio this weekend. Coach, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Well, we're doing great, and so are the Lady Cats. Congratulations on this great start.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
I'm looking at the teams really coming into that the GNAC Holiday Tournament, and you come in, you win some good games there, and you've seemed to take in that and roll on since after the Christmas break. Did you see this coming when you went into the 5-day moratorium?
Well, we knew we had a shot. I mean, we looked at the GNAC tournament, and we were number 2 seed, so we thought we'd be 1 or 2 coming in, and you know, we know a lot about North Platte. You know, I coached a couple of those girls in that Runza team this summer, so we knew a lot about them and them and the talent they had as well. But we thought we had a shot, definitely, to pull out a GNAC tournament win for sure.
Jason, talk about the win over North Platte, the close win, and the way you guys were able to get it done down the stretch.
The last one,
yeah,
right. Well, I mean, for that game, you know, we start off down 10-0 right off the bat. We're in a little trap, which we've been using all year, and actually against Lincoln Northeast, we just dominated them in our trap. And then North Platte handled it pretty well at the beginning, because they got up 10-0, got it inside to their big girls, and we got down early. And we, you know, ended up having to really play a half-court game against them, which should be to their advantage. And that's what was nice to see. We changed our style quite a bit to come back in that game and played right with them, and then ended up getting the lead and pulling it out down the stretch, which we've been doing a lot this year, is winning some close games, which obviously helps out a lot. You got kids that have played for me before and kind of understand what I expect down the stretch now.
Jason Boyd, the head girls basketball coach at Kearney High, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You have any trouble keeping Ashley and Nicole Arp? You ever confuse those two?
No, not at all. Ashley's a lot more dizzy.
what about their play, and when you can bring some sisters in that have or some teammates, even if they're not sisters, that play and have worked up through the system and been on some of these summer teams and travel teams most of their young life, how much does that benefit a team overall?
Oh, it helps a lot to play, you know, that they play a little bit in the summer as well, and then, you know, with Ashley and Nicole and Maggie, actually all played on the Runza team with me. So that, you know, we're running a lot of the same stuff we ran in this summer as well as what we're doing this year. So I think that helps a ton. You know, Nicole's our point guard, so I've always liked having a point guard play for me for 4 years. It makes a big difference, especially right now. I mean, I think she's playing like a senior in a lot of games down the stretch, and she makes great decisions down the stretch for us, which is helping us pull out those close games.
Jason, you look at Lexington and Grand Island ahead this weekend. I know it's a one game at a time adage, but next week you happen to have an opportunity when the number 1 team in the state comes into your building with a big opportunity there.
I don't know who you're talking about. Southeast? That's a joke. I do know that.
They're on the schedule. Who put them on there? Somebody get Armstrong on a phone.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, they're definitely tough, but you're right. You talk about one game at a time. I mean, Lexington, we beat by 12. We scouted them the day before, and they played Hastings in the GNAC and beat them by 20-some. And all 5 girls were hitting outside shots. All of them looked like they could score, and they looked like world beaters that day. And then, you know, they didn't play as well against us, I didn't think. You know, I hope we had something to do with that. But we beat them by 12, and I know that they feel they didn't play well. I guarantee that. And so that's going to be a tough game. I think they have a ton of talent. Lex has, you know, Hannah Mandelko, who played on the Runza team again with me this summer, and she's a great athlete, playing on an ACL tear, but it doesn't seem to be affecting her that much. She had 17 against us. You know, her sister Haley is a freshman who's a very good player. They've got a lot of girls that can play the game. And Carp, you know, I obviously after last year, Carpenter, I know, is a good coach. He beat us there. and they play hard. The biggest thing against them is just getting your kids to play as hard as they do. And we had, you know, we had a hard time with that. We got off to a big lead in the conference tournament against Lex, and had to, you know, call some timeouts in the second quarter and have a pretty good halftime speech to get us going, because they made a big comeback on us, and we had to try to match their intensity. And finally, second half, we did a little bit and kind of pulled out the victory. So we're looking at Friday night right now. So
Jason Boyd is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Kearney Lady Bearcats head basketball coach. They're 9-2. Let me play devil's advocate, as I like to do from time to time, Jason. I look at the schedule, and I look at Class A as a whole, and boy, there are a lot of teams, and especially teams on your schedule, whether they're A or B, most of them are hovering right around the 500 mark. Have you been tested like you want to be tested?
Well, I think we were tested the other night. You know, we won by 2 points, so I think North Platte is definitely a quality team. You know, they beat Grand Island by 23 points this year. They lost to High, I think, the beginning of the year, but that their big girl, that Matlock girl that's doing a lot for them, wasn't playing varsity at that time. And they moved her up, and I think that's made all the difference in the world with them. So if you look at their schedule, I mean, they have, what, 4 losses, and 2 of them are to us, you know, and so they're a pretty solid team. But you're right. I mean, we definitely are going to see some tough competition coming up. Even Grand Island, if you look at their losses, they lost to Millard North, number 2 team in the state, Southeast twice, Lincoln Southwest, which is around the top 10, hovering right around the top 10. So they have some tough losses too, where they're going to be a tough team as well. And Lexington, again, Lexington's lost to Holdridge, Lincoln Pius. They've lost to us, and then they did lose to Gothenburg early, but they didn't have Hannah Mandelko that game. So they have some tough losses too. So both these games this weekend are going to be tough for us, I think.
Jason, you get the Islanders a couple more times this year, but the second time at the Heartland Events Center. Just your thoughts on playing a game at that venue.
Well, I think it'll be kind of cool. I mean, there's a bunch of teams playing that weekend, kind of trying to kick off that place. So, you know, we're looking forward to it. We have JVs at the high school, though, so we got to go to there afterwards. So that's kind of different, but, you know, our boys are playing in it as well, so.
Well, it should be great, Coach. We'll see you guys this weekend here on ESPN Radio, and keep up the good work.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Jason Boyd, head girls basketball coach of the Kearney Lady Bearcats, off to a 9-2 start on the season. We need to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We've got more basketball, and UNK wrestling coach Mark Bauer scheduled to join us as well after this.
Look what the guys on the team gave me.
Well, let's try it.
A safe bet anytime.
Doug and Danny Show, ESPN Radio Superstation.
Hey, it's Jaws. This season, football is going to be a little bit different, better than ever before. It's not just because I'll be in the booth calling the game. It's because with a DLP HD TV, you'll be seeing every play in eye-popping high definition without all the motion blur. I got my nickname Jaws because I'm a big talker. But I'll tell you, DLP HD TV isn't just a bunch of talk. It's amazing. It's the mirrors. DLP HD TV. Millions of tiny mirrors take the motion blur out of sports action.
My friend laughed at me when I said I could order in French. But when the waiter came, I just smiled and said, Je voudrais le poulet et le riz.
Discover the world's fastest way to learn a language, guaranteed. It's the amazing Rosetta Stone software, and you can try it free. Request a free demo CD-ROM by calling 1-800-330-1231. There's no tedious translation, useless memorization, or boring drills. Call 1-800-330-1231. 1-800-330-1231.
Plain Jane's candles are hand-poured and made with the highest quality products available. Choose from over 90 different scents with new scents added often. They use a specially blended wax for maximum scent throw and even burning. They also use low-smoke, lead-free wicks for optimum wax pool. Plain Jane's candles make a wonderful gift. And right now, you can save 50% off candles at Plain Jane's in Grand Island. Just log on to ESPNSuperstation.com and click on the Super Deals icon. You can get $50 worth of gift certificates for just $25. ESPNSuperstation.com.
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town.
Triangle of Fender comes in, shoots and scores.
Chicago, Chicago, I'll show you around.
Big save by Hopper, Stormwind.
Chicago, Chicago, I'll show you around.
The Tri-City Storm bring in the Chicago Steel for two this weekend. Piero Wireless, pregame 6:45 both nights. On the radio home of the Tri-City Storm, 94.5 FM, The Breeze.
I love it.
This is number 3, Jim Jensen of the Tri-City Storm, and you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstations, 1460 and 1550 AM.
We'll see partial sun, along with more developing clouds during the day today. Highs around the lower 40s with south winds to 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, a chance of light snow develops. Could see up to an inch or two by Thursday morning. Lows near 23, up to 35 for highs Thursday. I'm Weather Eye Meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 32.
Show Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, where if you have got cabin fever, it's time to get the golf clubs out, get swinging, and get ready for the first ever Prairie Hills Long Drive Contest on their brand new golf simulator at the new Prairie Hills Golf Course. Come meet the new owners and operators, Curtis, Kurt, and Nick, and see the new clubhouse. Feel the new attitude at Prairie Hills, and they want you to be involved this week. If you're a long ball hitter, well, who knows? Maybe even on the simulator, you're a little longer than you think. Entry fee just $40 this Saturday. Competition at 1 o'clock. Come early. Get a few warm-up swings, which are included in your entry fee. It's limited to the first 50 to sign up, so call today. Huge cash payout to the winners. So come on out if you think you can hit the long ball and compete in the first ever Prairie Hills Long Drive Contest. It'll be a great idea to kind of get the clubs out and get going.
Oh, I just got a text message that says Ed Carr's afraid to try it.
There's a lot of afraidies.
Scaredy cat.
You know, well,
get out and do it.
Got to get out of the recliner. Got to get off the couch. I know most of these big hitters.
Oh.
The Llama. You know the Llama?
Oh.
The Llama, he's a big hitter. Complete bar with drink specials, sandwiches, and snacks. And you don't even have to wait for the long drive event to come out and try the new simulator. Come anytime to practice on the new simulator. Prairie Hills, open every day, 8 a.m. till midnight. Curtis, Kurt, and Nick want to see you this week.
I wonder who's afraid and who's not. I wonder if Dave Gapp is afraid. I bet he is.
You sure throw out a lot of names. Maybe some of our friends
Doug Mitchell,
that don't live in Kearney. Maybe some of our friends in Hastings.
Derek Affle.
Maybe some of our friends that live in Grand Island. Maybe some of our friends that live in smaller communities around the area. Maybe some of those chumps from Overton want to come on over and give it a
shot. Well, I'm Rob McCarter. I'm big man. Hit ball long way.
Well, go try it out, Prairie Hills.
Well, let's talk a little wrestling, Daddy. Boy, are you going? You don't claim to hit the golf ball a long way.
No, I swing hard, though.
In fact, it's just nice when you make contact. The National Duels are coming up this week. One of the, if not the biggest, non-tournament at the end of the year of the entire season. They're in Cedar Falls, Iowa, and the defending champion and the number one team in Division II wrestling, the Lopers of the University of Nebraska at Kearney, and we are pleased to be joined by the head coach, Mark Bauer, this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, love to have you on. This is an exciting time on the surface. I talked to you before. You said you got a little team that's banged up here. But before we get into all of that, you are going in as the defending champions. Talk about how big this meet is compared to some of the other things in the tournament style that you wrestle throughout the year.
Well, I tell you, this is a big event. You know, they've put every top team in the nation in one venue in the Uni Dome in Cedar Falls, Iowa. And it's a big event because it tells which team, it's a good indication of which team is the toughest team, you know, from bottom to top. This is not an individual tournament. This is a team event. And so it's exciting, you know, being number one. You know, we do have something to prove to ourselves here a little bit. You know, we've been placed pretty well in the bracket. We're excited about that. But just the opportunity to be there and compete with the top teams in Division II, that's great.
Mark, Doug brought up the health status of this team, and everybody starts wants to know about Tervell and how he is.
He's back and going. He's 100% right now. He, you know, we took him down to Lone Stars. He did not wrestle at Midlands over Christmas break, and we just went down to Lone Star Duels this last weekend. He pinned three of four of his four opponents, and in his other one, I think he got a major decision against Wyoming's heavyweight. So he's back, and we're excited. You know, obviously, being in a dual format, we kind of pretty much have an automatic closer at the end of the weight, at the end of the duel. So we're very solid and very confident in what he's going to do for us this weekend. As far as the rest of the lineup goes, we're going to have some shuffling going on here. We You know, we asked a lot of these guys over Christmas break, you know, wrestling at Midlands, which was one of the toughest tournaments in the nation. And then last weekend, you know, picking up four duels on Saturday this last weekend. And we asked a lot of them. But our 165-pounder, Keenan McCurdy, has a slight tear of his LCL. It's not bad. He's actually in practice yesterday. He told me today he feels great. So we feel very confident in having him. And we've got another 165-pounder in Taylor May, who's actually ranked fourth in the nation at that weight class and was a returning All-American. But our 184-pounder, Derek Ross, out of St. Francis, Kansas, has some kind of a shoulder injury. We just cannot really tell what's going on right now. In MR or X-rays right now indicate that there's nothing broken, but they did an MRI this morning on him, and so hopefully this afternoon we'll have a better idea of what's going on there. Being that we don't have another 184-pounder, we're going to have to play around with our lineup. I'm glad we have some depth at 65, so we possibly might be able to bump Taylor Keenan up and then bump Paul Sutton up to 184, but we're just going to have to kind of play around it when the duel rolls around.
Mark Barra, the head wrestling coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. The first draw, Carson Newman in the opening round, then Western State, which you should be a little familiar with, or Parkside. Give us a what you know early scouting report here on
the
draw.
As far as Carson Newman goes, they've got a really tough 49-pounder. He was actually a national finalist against Todd Menealy from UNO last year. He started the year out at 157. So when Joe Ellenberger saw, you know, we were paired up with him, he was excited because this Carson Newman kid's been ranked number one all year. Well, the rankings, the individual rankings just came out today, and this kid has now dropped down to 149. So Joe was a little ticked off, but I told Joe he's not dodging you. But anyway, that's probably the brunt of their lineup. They've got some decent kids in there, but we should have a fairly easy first-round duel with these guys. We just need to go out and compete. Western State, I think, is going to give us some fits. Now, their 165-pounder, who's like a three-time All-American, has not been wrestling, so we're not sure if he's going to be in the lineup. And then their 184-pounder, who was an All-American last year, actually blew his knee out over Christmas, and so he's done for the rest of the year. So we've actually got some things working for us a little bit, but in that duel, looking at things on paper, we match up not real well with them. Where we're not really super strong, they're strong, and where we're super strong, they're not strong. And so on paper, it looks like almost a 5-5 split. But obviously, it will be said out on the mat. It'll be taken care of out on the mat, so we'll find out. Second round, if we can get through the first two rounds and we match up with Minnesota State Mankato, I feel a lot more confident about that duel because where we're super strong, they're strong. But we match up better with their weaker weight. So it'll be interesting. I think we could, you know, get through to the finals, but it's going to be a challenge for us, that's for sure.
Mark, talk a little bit about over Christmas. In hindsight, would you do it the same way or will you mix that up in the future?
You know, I think we're going to change things up. You know, we were given the opportunity to take our whole team to Midlands this year, and a big part of that really is Travell DeLogne. We wanted those opportunities for him to compete and prepare for the Olympic trials this summer, and then it kind of backfired on us. It just didn't happen for him. You know, he got injured and didn't get that opportunity. But you know, that's tough to ask these kids to give up a great majority of their, you know, Christmas break and stay here, work out, and continue to focus on what they're doing and training, and it's demanding. I guess hindsight's 20/20. I guess if we had it all do over again, I would have, you know, not taken those guys to Midlands and preserved some of that, you know, for them. So, yeah, I think we'd have changed things, and in the future we're going to evaluate, you know, how things, you know, turn out after these couple weeks.
Mark, real quick before we let you get out of here, if you do get to the finals, odds are that it's going to be either UNO, who has vaulted all the way from number 7 to number 2 in the rankings this week, or Central Oklahoma, who's number 3. And then when you get back, you duel at Central Oklahoma and head to the UNO brand open with the non-varsity kids. But UNO is still on the horizon, too. So you're going to see these guys like usual a couple of times.
I tell you what, our schedule's not going to get much easier for our team, you know, here the next couple weeks. You know, as far as looking at Central Oklahoma and Omaha, you know, Omaha did this huge catapult because their 25-pounder, Garcia, who was a national champion 2 years ago and redshirted last year because he got hurt, you know, he's ranked fourth right now, but he's clearly the top kid at 125 pounds. And then at 149, Todd Menealy wasn't in school first semester, and now he's back in school second semester. So they have two individuals that weren't in the rankings that we knew were coming, and I think everybody else kind of knew they were, you know, not there. You know, we're kind of in the same boat. Brett Allgood's not been in the lineup first semester for us. he will be in the lineup second semester for us. So we've got some things that are even going to change even more for us. And we've got another young man, Marty Usman, who we talked about, I think, the last time I was in there. He just had his knee scoped on Monday, went in, and it was a slight tear of his meniscus. They shaved it off. He should be back in our lineup here in the next 3 to 4 weeks. So we've got some things we got to change yet, and we're sitting number one. So we're feeling pretty confident that, you know, if we can stay healthy and get our pieces in place, into the season might roll around, things might be looking a lot better for us.
Mark, best of luck.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate you guys for all you're doing for us.
Take care, buddy. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Mark Bauer, head coach of the top-ranked UNK wrestling team. Again, they will start with Carson Newman. Those brackets just released here this morning in their first duel on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. We need to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll be back to wrap things up after this.
What are you listening to?
The Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
I can't put up with you people because you're bastard people.
These guys really suck.
Awful. So bad.
Anyway, our heroes will be right back.
Hello? Is this where I go to get a recording contract?
Well, this is a music label, but you're a...
Cheesy Gordita Crunch from Taco Bell. But I want to be a rapper.
You're a Cheesy Gordita Crunch who wants to be a rapper?
Yeah, I think I'm going to change my name to Cheesy G.
I see. What makes you special?
I'm warm flatbread covered in 3 melted cheeses wrapped around a crunchy taco and topped with a zesty pepper jack sauce. I'm crunchy, chewy, and cheesy.
What does being crunchy, chewy, and cheesy have to do with rap?
Boom. Boom, boom. A lecture on texture.
Okay.
I'm chewy and gooey. I'm cheesy and easy.
Then what about crunchy?
I'm all so crunchy. I just haven't got a cool rhyme for that yet.
We'll be in touch.
Taco Bell's Cheesy Gordita Crunch. Warm flatbread covered in 3 melted cheeses. Wrapped around a crunchy taco and topped with a zesty pepper jack sauce. To get crunchy, chewy, and cheesy, think outside the bun. At participating locations for a limited time.
Hi, I'm J.W. Hart, the Iron Man of the Professional Bull Riders. You're listening to the ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
We'll see partial sun, along with more developing clouds during the day today. Highs around the lower 40s with south winds to 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, a chance of light snow develops. Could see up to an inch or two by Thursday morning. Lows near 23, up to 35 for highs Thursday. I'm Weather Eye Meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 32.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Just got a couple of minutes left as we head to the end of the program today. I want to thank Dan for filling in as a producer today, and we'll be back again tomorrow at 11 o'clock with some special guests. We'll get more into this Rachel Holloway deal.
Give Dan a Buckeye, would you? He needs one.
I will. He messed up once today.
Oh.
But you know
half,
what?
Half a Buckeye.
But guess what? Guess what? That average, that's only a half a day. And by God, that's way under average. Hey, guys, great talk about changing the BCS, but the problem is that it's all talk because until someone convinces the Big Ten and the Pac-10 to realize that the traditional college football playoffs that they knew for years has changed, we will never see a playoff. Let's not forget this is all about money for these two conferences. The current system is the only way they get two teams into the BCS in the Big Ten, which means more money in their pocket. No school in the Big Ten will support a playoff, and why would they in our current system? If you're Ohio State, Michigan, or Wisconsin, you can go undefeated in the non-conference, win a bad conference, play for a national title, and who knows, you may shock the world. But even though you get embarrassed like Ohio State did the last 2 years, they still get paid. Thanks, Trent. Hey, a couple of other notes. That was some great basketball last night between Minden and Ravenna. We talked about it. Two great games. Minden girls stayed unbeaten by one bucket, 44-42. Ravenna led the boys game, was up double digits, cut to two, up 12, and Minden came back and won that game. Keep your eyes on a young sophomore named Peter Trow. She's the cousin of Dallas Christensen who led the basketball team last night. But I'll tell you what. You can put Adam Mingus in a uniform on my team anytime. Ravenna and Minden, they're going to do just fine, and they've still got a lot of good basketball ahead of them. Nebraska loses Dan Hoke as an oral commitment, but pick up, I don't know, this doesn't thrill me at all, David Grant, a 6'6 offensive lineman from Texas, who Oklahoma State and Iowa State weren't even really that high on. Nebraska women open a Big 12 play tonight against Texas. And coming up later on in the week, we're going to talk to Sean Callahan of Huskers Illustrated. But today, thanks to Mark Bauer, UNK wrestling coach, and Jason Boyd, Kearney girls basketball coach.
Look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show, 1460, 1550.